Hello and welcome. I'm Pastor Vincent Grissom, and this is Applying God's Word, a teaching ministry from the Word of God. This is study number 125, titled, The Meaning of Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope this season fills you with worship and joy as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a few days. You know, there was a time when Christmas joy meant just one thing, the fulfillment of prophecy with the birth and worship of Jesus Christ as God's gift to all of us. But in the last few decades, Christmas and the joy of Christmas has been so diluted that many have strayed far from the true meaning of Christmas. So here's a question. What does Christmas mean to you? Today, we'll look at three attitudes found in Scripture. So let's get started with Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay, so the Magi ask in verse 2, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So the first thing we learn here is that the true meaning of Christmas is the worship of Jesus. The first half of Matthew chapter 2 contains three different attitudes towards the true meaning of Christmas. The first attitude is, those who are hostile towards the true meaning of Christmas. King Herod was the first in a long line of people to become hostile towards the meaning of Christmas. So in what way is King Herod hostile to the meaning of Christmas? In verse 3, he starts off by being disturbed. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was greatly agitated. He became alarmed. Then, in verse 7 and 8, he moves from being disturbed to being deceitful. Verse 7, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.'" He pretends to be a worshiper of Christ. But a few verses later, we learn his destructive intentions. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi." Why are Herod and many more like him hostile towards the meaning of Christmas? Those most likely to be disturbed about the true meaning of Christmas are those who don't want Jesus seriously involved with Christmas. They don't want to worship him. they prefer to remove him altogether from Christmas. They believe Christmas is all about giving gifts, that Christmas is all about giving and going to parties, that Christmas is about singing Christmas songs. Now, these things are all good, but we should focus far less on these things and far more on the worship of Jesus Christ, because they are not the true meaning of Christmas. Nowhere in verse 2 does it say, "We saw his star when it rose and have come to give him gifts, give him a party, or sing songs to him." Verse 2 says, "We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him." Remember, Herod went from being disturbed about what Christmas meant to being deceitful. He was disturbed that Christmas was the worship of Jesus, so he became deceitful. He pretended to also be a worshiper of Jesus. He says, "As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him," in verse 8. Sadly, it's not much different today. During the Christmas season, you find lots of deceitful people. Although most don't have the evil intent King Herod had, you do find people pretending and going through the motions. The dictionary describes a deceitful person as one who behaves in a dishonest way by making other people believe something about themselves that is not true. Today, the Christmas season has many people pretending to be worshipers of Jesus on the outside. Now, here is where self-examination once again comes in the life of the professing Christian. If we're not doing what we're doing in order to worship Jesus, then we have missed the true meaning of Christmas. We can't call it a Christmas event if we're not in some way worshiping Jesus. Do we have birthday parties or birthday events for friends or family without a focused attention being paid to the one whose birthday it is? Well, of course not. The true meaning of Christmas is the focus and worship of Jesus. Next, we find Herod goes from being deceitful to being destructive. He tries to take the life of Jesus. Again, it's no different today. There are those who are hostile to the true meaning of Christmas and will stop at nothing in order to take Christ out of Christmas. Now let's look at the second attitude. The second group of people represented in this passage are like those that Herod called who are indifferent towards the true meaning of Christmas. They are represented by the priests and the teachers of the law. Verses 4 through 6. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So the priests and teachers of the law know the true meaning of Christmas. They know it's the worship of Jesus. They even can show it to you from the Bible, and they quote the prophet, but they are indifferent to it. So in what way are they indifferent towards the true meaning of Christmas? Well, they are not hostile to the true meaning of Christmas. They are not disturbed. They are not deceitful, and they are not destructive. But here is how they and many of us are indifferent to the true meaning of Christmas. They dismiss it. They know the meaning of Christmas, but they dismiss it. They know where Jesus was born. They know why Jesus was born, yet they are not at all excited about the true meaning of Christmas. Therefore, the true meaning of Christmas makes no difference in their lives. We have far too many people in church, as well as priests and teachers of the Bible, like this today. So why are they all indifferent to the true meaning of Christmas? Why did they dismiss themselves from the worship of Jesus? The answer is worldliness. Notice that when Herod called the priests and the teachers of the law to come to him, they came to him. But the priests and the teachers of the law knew the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem in Judea, yet they all stayed away. They obeyed Herod and disobeyed God. Do we follow the world like they followed Herod and stay away from the word of God like they did, or do we follow God and stay away from the world? Are we obeying the world or are we obeying God? Are we indifferent to the worship of Jesus, yet very much a part of the worship of the world and its popular version of Christmas? How can we know which we are? Well, by looking at the third group of people in our passage. This group is not hostile or indifferent to the meaning of Christmas. This third group is excited about what Christmas means. This group is represented by the Magi, or wise men. The wise men are drawn by the meaning of Christmas. The wise men teach us that when you are drawn by the meaning of Christmas, then no distance is too great an obstacle to overcome. The wise men traveled over 1,000 miles, and it took a long time, not the traditional 12 days, but instead it took somewhere between 40 days and as long as 2 years in order for them to worship Jesus. Today you might feel a great distance between you and Jesus. Jesus is not just in Bethlehem today. Today he is beside you. He is here today to draw us to himself. No matter who you are, he is here to draw you to himself. For the unbeliever who is aware but feels indifferent to the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus says this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. Now, for the believer who has drifted and feels indifferent to the true meaning of Christmas, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 says, that you have forsaken the love you had at first, and to consider how far you have fallen. Christ then tells you to repent, and to do the things you did at first. The wise men also teach us that when you are drawn by the true meaning of Christmas, then no sacrifice is ever too great for us to make. We know that the wise men brought to Jesus some very valuable gifts, but they were not the most valuable gifts in that house. The far more valuable gift in that house was Jesus himself. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh could not take away our sins and reconcile us back to God. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. The wise men also teach us that when you are drawn by the true meaning of Christmas, then it will change your life for the better. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When you don't respond to the true meaning of Christmas, then after Christmas is over, too many people go back to being hostile and especially indifferent to the things of God. When you do respond to the true meaning of Christmas, you won't go back to the way you were. You will be different. Which group of people and which attitude represents you? Are you the Herod type, hostile to the true meaning of Christmas? Are you the priests and teachers of the law type, indifferent to the true meaning of Christmas? Are you the wise men type, excited about the true meaning of Christmas? I'm going to close with Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Most people, including those who regularly attend church, quote only part of the angel's message from the Lord in this verse when they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men. However, the Holy Spirit leads the children of God to understand the rest of that verse, which is, on whom his favor rests. It is Christians with a heart after God that are the ones that express a life that walks in the grace and mercy of God. there are eternal gifts for those who grasp the truth of Christmas with their hearts. Understanding those gifts and walking in the free grace by which these gifts come will completely change a person's attitude towards the season which we now celebrate. It is the reason for the hope that is within you. Merry Christmas, everyone.